come back, had the privilege to be here with you in 2016 after 4 years of being on the field. In those first 4 years, I don't want to embellish or make, you know, to make it sound harder than what it was. But a beginning is always hard. Even a two newlyweds, and our son Josh and our daughter-in-law Emma, they've had it good in this past year and a half. But sometimes a new beginning can be rocky or be tough, readjustments and so forth and so on. But the first 4 years were challenging, just to speak the language. You go to a foreign country and try to learn a foreign language, and hey, I'm from Georgia, you know, we don't speak but one language, and that's Georgian or what. But it can be challenging. I remember telling Pastor Evelyn Minkoff, he's the guy that committed to be our teacher, man, I was like, after a couple lessons, brother, I was like, this ain't gonna happen. How's this gonna happen? And he gave me the most simple but good advice that anybody could give anyone. He's like, you ain't got no other choice. You're here. You're going to learn it. So little by little, we learned the language. But those first 4 years, there were times when we thought, are we in the right place? Are we where we're supposed to be? But we couldn't get away from all the things that God had done for us, and how the Lord had opened every door and helped us to get supporters. And from 2009, the end of 2009 to 2012, and prepare the way. I mean, when we left Beaufort, South Carolina, our church is not a well-known church across this country. And, you know, our pastor's famous in our eyes, but he's not in a lot of people's eyes. Brother Carl Baker was pastor for 45 years at Calvary Baptist Church. But a lot of people don't know us, didn't know him. But we left with not just a burden, but what we believe was a calling to leave our country, leave my job, and leave our country, and leave everything that's familiar to us, and go to an unfamiliar place so we could give the gospel to those people. And Brother Mike, you were there, and what year were you there in Bulgaria and Romania? It was after the fall of communism, early, late 90s? Yeah, well, Pastor Slavi Dichev, our builder, I was talking, his wife, Maya, she said when communism fell and they had freedom to read the Bible, they weren't even saved, but they read the whole book of Revelation in just an evening or a short period of time. Her brother and their mother, I think, and she got saved. But it doesn't sound like her brother got saved, nor her mother. But it was such a freedom there, and a unique, curiosity about the Bible that had been forbidden to them, that they ate it up. Yeah, they ate it up. I wish I could say that it was like that today, that people are starving for the truth, but they're not. They're not starving for the truth. We go from one village to the other, and there's no gospel witness. There's no Bible preaching. And we try to give them the gospel, the John and Romans book, and many of them are like, we don't need that. We're Christians already. What they mean is they've been baptized as a baby. That's what they mean. They go to a church on, you know, their holidays and their their high days, and they light a candle and do their ritualistic things, and have their what they call their name days and stuff like that. I'm not making light of the people, but that's just religion. That's all that is. Okay, that's all that is. That's just religion. And there's some Baptists. There's some Baptists in South Carolina. You know what they do? That's all they do. They go to church on Sunday, maybe once a week, and they never crack their Bible the whole week. And they're busy about their business, and they're busy about watching their movies and their work and their family, whatever they want to do and whatever they enjoy doing. And God don't have a place in their life. They're idol worshipers too. Amen. They worship their race cars. They worship their rifles. They worship their hunting season. They worship everything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're just as much as idol worshipers or any Catholic or Orthodox man or woman. But we went over there, and I wish we could say that they're starving for the truth, but they're not. But it's just because they don't know. That all they know is dead religion. All they know is dead religion. It don't have no meaning for them. But what we're trying to give them, obviously, not only us, but others that are there that know Jesus Christ, is that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And if they will come to know Jesus Christ like we do, praise God, thanks by the grace of God, they'll realize why we're there. And they'll want to help us get the gospel out. And some of them are. Some of them are. So we were here in 2016. We came back for furlough in 2020, visited some other churches, and now this is the third time for a furlough for us, revisiting the churches that we were with 8 years ago in 2016. There's been some changes. You guys have renovated your building. You're a bunch of spoiled brats. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. I'm just kidding. But no, it's not like that. Thank God. Thank God for the conditions that we have. Thank God for all the things that we have in our country, the jobs that you have, the money that you make. But our life to count for Jesus. Amen. That's what ought to be the main focus. Not how much money we can make. That's important. Having money, having things, living as comfortable as possible. We all want that. It's not a sin in being rich. If you're rich, it's not a sin in being poor either. But if we don't make our life count for Jesus, and we accumulate a whole lot of earthly things on this earth, that's all fine and good for now. But if we haven't invested in people's lives, and I'm not just talking about giving to missionaries and sending certain families across the globe, sending us and others across the world to do the gospel and get the gospel out and see people saved. You know, it's personal for every single one of us. Each and every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a commission upon our lives to be the people that Christ would have us be. Amen. It's not just the missionary that needs to be doing the work of the gospel. It's not just the preacher and the pastor. The pastor and the assistant pastor and the deacon that needs to do the work of the gospel. And I trust that that's nothing foreign for you guys. That's nothing. But I want my life to count for Jesus. For earthly things, they're going to fade away. Everything you have, everything you accumulate, when it's all said and done, you leave this world, you got to leave it all here. And there's no need to keep adding to those things, but rather to seek the eternal gain. Inside my heart, there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? Well, it's to serve God. It's to be saved. Preach on the true riches of the Lord today. True riches. The Lord maketh rich. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, he addeth no sorrow therewith, there in Proverbs. But the true riches of the Lord is for a sinner to become a saint. That sinner to know God as his God. For God to know you. For us to know him and us to know him and him to know us. And that we might be an example to other people around us, that we might be a light, that we might be salt to them, that we might be an answer to them, that we might be a means by which they can come to know Christ also through our example. That's what we were made for, brethren. That's what we were made for. The body's not for fornication. That's what the world thinks. The world thinks that the body is for fornication. Spiritual fornication, be an idol worshiper, worship idols, worship things, material things, just give your life to material things. Or give your life to the flesh. in physical fornication. No, the body's not for physical nor for spiritual fornication, but it's for the Lord. The body's for the Lord. And that's the only way we're going to be happy, is if we let God have his way in our lives. In Genesis chapter 6, and that's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do, and I trust that's all that you're trying to do right here in Pacolet, South Carolina, and in your community, and in your neighborhood, and in your workplace, and in your school, and wherever you go about your daily business, that you're trying to be a light to people about you too. And you're trying to be a missionary. You're trying to be a missionary. You're trying to be a preacher, a good, solid Christian witness, because this world will never tell you. Perhaps this world and people that you know, lost people, will never tell you that they need a Christian witness. They may never tell you that, but they need it. They need it. They need it more than they know. They need it more than they know. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, it was tough those first 4 years, trying to learn the language. It took us 2 years just to be able to say thank you correctly. Blagodaria. Come on. Blagodaria. Blagodaria. Four syllables. Thank you. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it took a while. It takes a while. The Lord blessed and answered our prayer back in 2014. God opened a door, showed us a people where we could minister to. They had been praying for God to help them. We were praying, God, what do you want us to do, Lord, specifically? Lord, open that door, send us to those people in Karabakh, Bulgaria. We started there with them, but just ministering, just meeting in a little tiny building, a little small building in the back of the former pastor's yard. No professions of salvation, no baptisms, sowing the word, getting the word out, trying to be a witness, trying to learn the language, trying to preach the gospel, encourage those people. Nothing for a while. And then 2018. But if we'd given up, if we'd given up on ourselves, we'd given up on the Lord, if we'd given up on you, our supporters, and just said, no, these people don't want it, then we wouldn't be here today reporting back to all the good things that God's done. We wouldn't have Chris and Zachary. Wouldn't have them. Yeah. They're our boys. Trying to raise them to in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that they would be. Chris was baptized last year. Yeah. Came to me one Thursday afternoon when he was 6 years old. Said, Daddy, ask the Lord to save me tonight. I'm like, really? Sorry. That wasn't on purpose. I'm like, really? Should I take it down or what? I'm breathing in real hard. You can hear my heartbeat probably. Okay. You can tell how nervous I am, right? But I just made him wait. You know, I made him wait because that's young. That's young. I'm not trying to say that people can't get saved at real young ages. Praise God. I pray for that. You know, pray that the Lord would touch my children's hearts and touch their conscience and their mind, and they would give their lives to the Lord as young as possible. He came to me and said, Daddy asked the Lord to forgive me. And the following year, we had some baptism. He's like, I want to be baptized. I'm like, no, you're too young. You're too young still. Just wait a minute. He's like, no, I want to be baptized. I'm like, no, not right now. Not right now. You need to wait a little bit. Next year, one more year passed. Last year, 2023, I'm referring to. He's like, we had some baptism. He's like, Dad, I want to be baptized too. I'm like, really? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Are you doing it just because they want to do it? These other people are getting baptized? No, Daddy, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I've asked him to save me. So he was persistent about it, and he got baptized last year too. Four of our kids already baptized, serving the Lord, and have professed Christ for themselves, and what a privilege. But had we not stayed, none of that would have happened. 32 people have been baptized now, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, building. A building ain't everything. We can meet anywhere, right? We could. Christians have. From the first century till now, and people in other parts of the world don't have these conditions, brethren. You know, Christians have always met. People, they met in the catacombs. Yeah. They met in those tunnels underneath that Roman city. Was Rome? I'm not exactly sure. I forget. But they met down there in the dark. They would sneak out of their homes at night, and they would meet together. They would meet together to fellowship with one another and to pray and sing. If they had any portions of the scripture, they would read it, and they would edify each other in tunnels, in dark caves. That's what they did. We could do it too. If we didn't have this, we could do that. But conditions are good. And God allowed it. And we prayed. We prayed from 2018. Started saving money. Started praying and fasting at times for the Lord to give us a perfect a proper place. I thought it was one place. The Lord just shut the door down. He just said no. And in time, the end of 2021. The end of 2021. I know fasting's not a popular thing in the day in which we live, the day and time in which we live. But right before we found this building, it's just my testimony. It's just what happened to me. That's all. It's just, you know, something practical. I said, I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast for a week. I'm going to start on Monday. I'm not eating breakfast. I'm not eating lunch. I'll eat supper. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were giving out books of John and Romans. We were with Brother Slavi Dichev and his family. They were all eating lunch, and I'm hungry, right? I said to my wife, I'm going to go ahead and eat. I'm going to eat. She said, nah, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. So I obeyed my wife, took her advice. Didn't eat and ate that afternoon, but Sunday came. After church, Sunday morning, we're still meeting in that little tiny building behind the former pastor's and his property and their property. And Brother Corlo Manolov came to me and he said, Brother Danny, I just seen a house for sale. It's not far from here. This is November of 2021. He said, would you like to go look at it? I'm like, yeah, definitely. Now, all that whole week I'm fasting, you know, during the day. I eat in the afternoons, and boy, did I eat, man. It came supper time. I piled it on. But Sunday, seventh day of the fast, he's like, how about let's go see this house? We went down the road, just a few streets down, right on the corner street, corner of Trakia y Kristobotev. So, Kristobotev and the corner of Kristobotev and a street called Trakia. The owners happened to be there. They didn't live there. Nobody was living in the house. They were from another village, another town, about an hour away. It wasn't about an hour away. They happened to be there. We were able to go inside immediately after looking at that place. We were like, this is the place. This is the place. Finally, the Lord answered our prayers. What is that verse that says about how, about praying, asking God, you know, how does it go in there in Proverbs? I think it's Proverbs. Just one second here. You know what I'm thinking, son? He was helping me this morning. He was like reading my mind. And his wife was helping him too. Let's see here. Just a second here. Just give me a second. A tree of life. But afterward cometh the tree of life. What is it? How does it go there? The meaning is be persistent. Keep asking the Lord about something. When he gives it to you, when he gives you the answer, it's like a tree of life. It's a relief, right? And we had to wait all this time. I can't remember where that verse is. But anyway, we waited from 2018 to 2021. The Lord finally answered our prayers for a public building. And conditions are good. Physical things that God has given. It's good, but it's not everything. It's not everything. Never should take for granted what God's given us. Never should make more out of physical things than what they are. If we needed to meet in each other's homes, we would do that. If we needed to meet outside, we would do that. If there ever came a day, a time where we had to do that again, that's what we would do. In Genesis chapter 6, but faithfulness, brethren, faithful. My life to count for Jesus, not only when I became a Christian, for me it was July 21st of 1996 is when I gave my life to the Lord, surrendered all to Him, best I knew how, to surrender my soul and spirit to Him. I was 19 years old back then, 47 now. I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm grateful. Grateful I'm 47 years old. 3 more years, man, I'll be 50. Hallelujah. Be half a century, right? Century, right? Yes. A decade is 10 years, yes? Okay, I mean, you know, I'm just clearing, making sure. But it's a blessing to be able to live, be able to live a while and get gray-headed and start have to use glasses to read. But it's a blessing to get old and get old in the Lord and try to be faithful and try to accumulate good works, try to accumulate good things that you've tried to do in your life and in obedience to God and His Word. And that's what this man was here. Genesis chapter 6, your old brother Noah. And we don't know Sister Noah's wife's, Sister Noah, Noah's wife, so we just call her Sister Noah. I don't know what else to call her. God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, we ain't too far away from those days, it seems, even here in America. Shelby, North Carolina, Christian community. I mean, there's churches all over the place, even Baptist church, a bunch of them. Bunch of Baptist churches in Shelby, North Carolina. That's where we're staying for a couple weeks. Got family there. Just heard from my sister-in-law and her husband that a man fell down, had a heart attack, fell down in, Golden Corral. Fell down on his face forward in Golden Corral, right at the ice cream dispenser. No, they didn't help him. Nobody, they called 911, I guess, but nobody tried to move that man. Nobody tried to help, done any chest compressions on that man. From what they said, as they were stepping over him to get to the ice cream, where in the world are we at? That burns me up. I wish I'd have been there. I wish I'd have been there. In America, for crying out loud, this ain't no post-communist country. We're in America where there's Baptist churches and there's the Bible and people stepping over a dude to get to some ice cream. Are you crazy? What in the world's going on in this world? What in the world's going on in our country? God help us. There must have not have been any Christians there that day. Evidently, there was no born-again Christians in that place that could have at least turned a dude over and something, done something. Sir, are you okay? Here. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't a witness, but just from what they said, that's ridiculous. That's insane. That's inhumane. What are they, heathen? Yes, they're heathen. All they care about is their stinking gut. Unfortunately, and that's where we're at. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. We're told in the New Testament not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Not to grieve as his people, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It would be grievous to the Lord for us to be Laodicean Christians. Neither hot, neither cold, indifferent towards the things of God, indifferent towards his word, they're indifferent towards prayer and holiness, indifferent towards getting the gospel out in our lives, amen, and trying to make a difference. I know it's hard these days. It's hard. Talking to Brother Jackie today when he was pastoring at in Union, South Carolina, how many people they went to and knocked on their doors. Nobody came. That's discouraging. You go, you knock on door, you walk those miles, you get out those tracks. It ain't for your health. It ain't for your own good. It's for somebody else's good. They don't even seem to care. But it's our obligation, nonetheless, to get the word out. It's our obligation to try to reach them, to try to give it to them, to try to say, hey, it's not about religion. You need a relationship. You don't need to be just a religious Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal. You need to know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Otherwise, you're going to wind up in hell. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They were messed up. There were a whole bunch of them that was oblivious to the truth and what was right. They were giving themselves over to the flesh, messing with angels, fallen angels. That's where all these giants came from. You know that's what was happening. But God said unto Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. I'm not going to read it all. Verse 22, and Noah, thus did Noah. Verse 22. Not a whole lot said about Noah other than he was a righteous man. God could talk to him. God could confide in him. God could tell him something to do and he would do it. And he was a faithful man. He did that. He worked on that ark project for many, many years. How many years did he work on that ark? 120 years. How about that for a prayer letter? A progress report. Report back to your churches. There wasn't no churches to report back to. But, you know, to give him some kind of, you know, self-gratification or fulfillment that he had, you know, that he had accomplished something in the life of another person, he hadn't. But the Bible says that thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And see, I got stirred up, lost my voice now, I'm losing it. So I'm going to have to hurry up. 1 Peter 3:20, a little bit more about Noah here, which sometime were disobedient, chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah 120 years. God was long-suffering and patient towards those people while he preached, while he worked. He worked, his three sons, maybe those daughter-in-laws helped him out, maybe his wife was helping him out too, but they preached, they witnessed, they testified of what was going to happen. They warned. They witnessed and they warned, but nobody listened. Nobody listened, but for 120 years, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Well, even though Noah and his family were not able to win anybody to God, to the true and living God, and they weren't able to persuade any man or any woman to get on that ark with them, at least he saved his home. At least he saved his wife, because she was evidently his main priority, his first priority. And at least he saved his three sons. They were his first priority, and their wives. And as men, as Christian men, our first priority, you got a son now. He just got a five-month-old boy. 5 months, right? His first priority is his wife, sister, so-and-so. Taylor. So Sister Taylor. And Little? Chandler. Taylor and Chandler, brother, that's your first priority. No matter what you do. No matter what I do, Etuya. There she is, Melissa Kessler. She's my first priority. I told her. It was kind of tough those first 4 years, right before we got Chris. She kind of went through a little dark spell, a little slump. I told her one night, one evening, I said, sweetheart, you got to come out of this. But if you can't, if you can't live here any longer, you can't stand to be here anymore, and we got to go back to America, I said, we'll pack it up and we'll leave. We'd already bought our house. We bought our house too. I said, because I can't be here and do what I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do without you, and I don't even want to try. You're my first priority. I love you more than this ministry. I love you more than what we're trying to do here. She came out of it. That helped her, I think. She needed to hear that from me. She needed to hear that from me. She needed to hear that she is my first love. She is my... I know Christ has got to be our first love. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But as married men, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We better not forget that. There's a lot of men forgetting that in our day and time amongst independent Baptist churches. God forbid that any of us men would forget that. That we would neglect our wives to the point that she wouldn't feel loved by us anymore. And some other guy come along and say a kind word and she'd be tempted to go towards him. God forbid. But they're our first priority. Our kids, they're our first priority. We're trying to minister to them, number one. It's not just me and my household. No, it's not. It's not that mentality. But they're our first priority. We want them saved, number one. We want them serving the Lord, born again, believers in God themselves. And we ain't going to be satisfied and we ain't going to be happy and content until it's that way. Because they're ours. They're ours. And that's what Noah did. That's what Brother Noah did. He didn't win anybody else to the Lord, but he was faithful all those years. And he won his family to the Lord. And that's what we want to do. What a great privilege it is for my wife and I that all of our children were with us tonight. Even our son that's married and his wife, our daughter-in-law. Praise God, they're here with us tonight. They come back with us to visit a few churches. They can't stay with us long. Kenzie's got to go back to school at Pensacola. Josh and Emma got to go back to DeLand, Florida, where they live. They go to the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida, Pastor James Knox. They got to go back, but at least they're here for a little bit. What a great privilege it is that that they don't despise the ministry, that they don't despise going around and visiting churches. It's tough. It can be tough. It can be tough going from one place to the other. But they of their own will wanted to come and be with us for a little bit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. When I need to wrap it up here. Real quick, huh? No? We ain't no time limit? Seriously? I can preach now. Sometimes I can just get on a roll, you know, and I just forget about time. But Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, you know the verse, verse 20. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ever since I gave my life to Christ, in July 21st, 1996, Lord, forgive me. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. That was my heart's desire. I didn't say those words, but that was my heart's desire, honestly, before the Lord. I wanted God to take me. I want him to save me. I want him to make me his own. I want him to change me. I wanted to be his. I wanted to know that I was God's son. I wanted to know that he was my God. And I wanted to stop cussing. And I wanted to stop living ungodly. and living the same, that same life that I had always lived as a religious boy, a religious, idolatrous Baptist. That's right, because that's what I was. I didn't, wasn't no bowing down to no statues, but boy, that go-kart racing, I don't know if that had me, but I'll tell you what, I was a go-kart racer, and I loved that stuff. I loved that stuff. I lived for go-kart racing. You hear me? Yeah. It ain't a big deal, but I won 3 championships in my class in a row in my little division. I'm a big deal. Y'all might not think so, but I'm a big deal. I was a big deal in my own mind. First place, 3 consecutive years in junior super stock. So what? Koi mupuka. Who cares? But that's idolatry. But when I became a Christian, we stopped racing. We sold that stuff and we got out of it. Why? Because it took up too much time and money and too much attention. We got out of it. And I started going to church and I started reading the Bible. And I started fellowshipping with the saints of God. I wanted God to have his way with me. Yeah. Oh, we can't have no fun. Brother Dan, you can't have no fun. That's a bunch of junk. I've had more fun as a Christian than I ever did as a lost person. That's a lie of the devil. I'm telling our people in Bulgaria, you got this mindset, some of you, I know you do because I used to think this way, that if you become a real Christian, you're going to have a boring life. That's a lie of the devil. That's not true. That's a lie from the world. That's a lie from the flesh. That you're not going to have an interesting life. That your life is going to be boring. That you're never going to get to do anything fun. That's a bunch of junk. That's not true. The true happiness, the true riches, the true treasures are in serving God your maker. Being what he wants you to be. That's where the real adventure is. Yeah, that's where the real enjoyment is. That's where the real contentment is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Ever since I became a Christian in July the 21st of 1996, I wanted my life to count for Jesus. But you know what? If as we live in day after day and year after year, you know, even as in the ministry, you got to watch yourself. You got to watch yourself that you don't get cold, that you don't start getting indifferent, that you don't just get in a rhythm of things and you forget to take personal time with the Lord, that you don't seek him on a personal basis. You don't seek to renew your faith. Renew your joy. Remember that first love. Remember that first joy you had as a Christian, as a son of the living God, as a daughter of the living God. He can rejoice. He can renew that joy in our hearts. He can renew that love. He can renew that excitement. Brethren, the things that God has allowed us to do in these 12 years, this fruit that the Lord has given us thus far is partly because of your faithfulness. We're an extension of your church. You're helping us. You're praying for us. Your prayers are not in vain. Your finances that are given to us is not in vain. Keep us on the mission field. Keep us witnessing to our neighbors, Peter and Panka. They don't know what it's like to be saved. They don't know what it's like to be a real Christian. But we're trying to be an example to them. Yep. Hoping and praying that they'll get saved before they die. They're getting up in their age. They're getting up in years. In their 70s now. John chapter 15 and John 15 and Romans 8, a little bit here in these two places, and then we'll just wrap it up. We got to continue, brethren. We got to continue to be faithful. Try to continue to make our life count for Jesus. It's not a popular thing in our day and time. I've been hearing, and have heard even today how Bible-believing people getting caught up in homosexuality. Homosexuality? We don't hate people. We don't want to hate them. All men, all transgression, Jesus said, how did it go? The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven unto men, but how did it go? All manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men. That too, that can be forgiven. The sin of homosexuality can be forgiven. It was in the first century amongst the Corinthians. Some of them were effeminate. They got born again. It can happen again in the 21st century. But God saves you out of that. He saves you out of that. That's ungodly. That's unnatural. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the devil's trick to take advantage of a human life. That ain't satisfying. That ain't gratifying. That ain't fulfilling. That's just a trap. That's just a trap of the devil. That's just a snare of the devil, snare of the flesh. It's a lie that there's more fulfillment in that. But God calls us out of that. He calls us out of darkness into light. Yeah. Man, we better hold to that which is right and true. We better continue in the things that we've been taught and been assured of, like Paul told Timothy. Better not back up. I know it's getting bad. It's getting bad, even in our circles. God help us. Continue, though. Be faithful. Be faithful. Just be faithful. Just hold on to the word. This word hadn't changed. Jesus Christ today, yesterday, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God ain't changing just because men change. No, God ain't changing. God doesn't change like men change. We just need to stay with the Lord. John 15, it's God's will. It's God's will that we be faithful, that we be consistent, that we be just plow the row. Just keep your hands on the plow and don't look back. Because if you look back, you can't plow a straight row. You're not going to be able to plow straight if you're looking back. And if your eyes are on everything else and everybody else. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch in me, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You're going to have to go through some things. It's going to be some tough things to go through at times. You just got to wait on God. You just got to seek the Lord. You just got to be patient, but he'll bring you through it. He's going to let you be purged. He's going to let us be pruned and purged so that we can bear forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I skip one part here. It says about the branch that doesn't abide in him, that doesn't bear fruit, he taketh away. He taketh away. If you don't bear fruit, he taketh away. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But if we abide in him, he'll help us. Little by little, day after day, day by day, day by day, year after year, he'll help us. We'll bear fruit to his honor and glory. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Even as a Christian, if you get out of the vine, if you get away from Jesus Christ and the fellowship of Christ, the saints, this is what could happen to you. Even as a Christian, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, when I have preached to others, how does that go? I don't want to butcher it here. But I keep under my body. This is Apostle Paul speaking here. Apostle Paul had issues with his flesh too. He's a man like me and you. He had flesh like us. But he said, I have to keep under my body. I have to bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. If we're not careful, we can be a castaway. If we're not careful, we're not abiding in Christ, we'd be cast away from the vine, and we wither and we stop bearing fruit. We stop bearing fruit. Had a hard time. I've always had an issue, had a problem or been difficult for me to wrap my mind around the saying, the verse in 1 Timothy 5:6, where it says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Right? You've heard that verse before. Paul's talking to Timothy about the widows, that widows indeed. He's talking about those young widows that didn't, you know, their husbands obviously were most likely killed because of the persecution during that time. He said that they need to marry. They need to bear children. Otherwise, if they didn't do that and they got to be busybodies and meddling in the things they shouldn't be doing, and he said they'd be living in the flesh, right? But she that liveth in pleasure, she's dead while she liveth. And as I was talking to this Bulgarian brother about John 15 and Romans chapter 8 about the flesh and the spirit and walking in the spirit and abiding in the vine, and it seems to make sense to me. It seems to make sense to me that 1 Timothy 5:6 is simply saying that woman, that widow, if she didn't do what God wanted her to do and got into stuff that God didn't have, that she didn't need to be in, that she had no business doing, she would die. She that liveth in pleasure, carnal, fleshly pleasure, if that's your life and that's your goal, you're dead while you live. Why? Because you stop bearing fruit as a Christian, as a man or woman that's in the vine, that's in Christ. You stop bearing fruit. You wither away. You die. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit, that you bear much fruit, excuse me, not just that you would bear fruit, but with the help of God and time on your side, and a constant walk with the Lord, and a consistent walk with the Lord, brothers and sisters, we have the potential to do a lot of good in this world. We have a lot of potential to do good in our families, to do good in our churches. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Romans chapter 8, we'll just end with this. It's not easy. It gets wearisome. We're living in a world where the masses in Christendom are Laodicean. Don't see any men here with long hair, but, you know, even if you did, you know, the Bible says it's a shame for men to have long hair. We don't want to be overly judgmental and overly critical about a man that has long hair, but the Bible says what it says. The Bible talks about modesty, especially when it comes to the woman, to the man as well, but especially to the woman. Read the New Testament. Doesn't it? That's going out of the door. Even in our circles, fundamental Bible-believing Christians, it's not popular. It's not acceptable. It's not wanted. It's not desired. We don't want to continue in holiness. But that's the will of God. That is the will of our Lord. That is the will of our Savior, to be as He is. And we don't want to be overly critical about someone that needs to grow in their faith. Amen? We don't want to be a micromanager of anyone. The Bible says what it says. And we don't want to overemphasize the physical and underemphasize the spiritual either. But the Bible says what it says. In Bulgaria last year, Alyssa gives out gospel tracts sometimes, and in the grocery stores and wherever we are. Gospel tracts in Bulgarian, right? She told me earlier last year, she said, "I got one more tract, Daddy. This is going to be for somebody special." I'm thinking, amen, let it be. She seen this woman and she gave it to her, and she's like, did Miss Anna ask where I was? Or she said, "Where are your parents? Did she ask you where we were?" Anyway, she came looking for me and she's like, sir, we're from Germany and I've been praying and asking the Lord. We live here in Bulgaria now, and I've been asking God to help us find a good church to go to." You know why she was so eager to take that gospel tract? This ain't everything. The outward appearance ain't everything. Clothes ain't everything, all right? The way we dress and present ourselves, it's not everything. But you know why she was so eager to take that gospel tract and she was so convinced that we were Christians? It's because my girls look different. Alyssa and Caitlin were not dressed in a pair of pants. I'm sorry, but they weren't dressed that way. They were dressed in a conservative, godly manner. And she automatically assumed that we were Bible-believing Christians. A German lady, she was raised that way. She and her 8 or 9 other siblings were raised in a conservative Christian home in Germany. It ain't everything, but it's something. It's something. Romans chapter 8. Bottom line, wear what you want. I mean, hey, I'm not the pastor. You are. It ain't my responsibility. But it is my responsibility as your brother in Christ to tell you ladies, be ladies. Be ladies for Jesus Christ. Be the ladies that Christ would have you be. He saved your soul. He saved your soul. He's going to give you everything. The Bible says you're going to inherit everything. You're going to inherit all things. He knows what's best for you. Men, same thing. Be the witness that God wants you to be. That's our responsibility. So that what? So that we might live to His honor and glory, that we might represent Him well, and that we might be an example to others, that we might bear fruit, and that we might bear much fruit, because that's how our Heavenly Father is glorified. That's His will. That's the will of the Father, that we would bear much fruit. Romans 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind, anything worldly, anything fleshly, anything that's not pleasing to our holy God, our holy God. "Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." That's what He said. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." Enmity against God. We read in another place that the friendship of the world, if I'm not mistaken, friendship of the world is intimacy with God. And it's our tendency in this day and time which we live to be like the world, to drop our Christian holy standards and be more acceptable in the eyes of the world. But that's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. We're not going to make a greater impact upon the world if we do that. We're not. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Even as a Christian, even as a born-again Christian, if we're not walking in the flesh, if we're not abiding in our vine, abiding in Christ, we're not going to please Him. We're not going to be able to be used of Him. in the way that he wants to use us. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. We still got a body of sin. Regardless of the fact that we endeavor to be the people that he wants us to be, that's the challenge, that's the goal, you still have a body of sin. We're never going to be perfect in this body until the Lord returns and changes it. But that's no excuse to pursue that mark. Where was I? Verse 10. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because the Spirit of God dwells in us, we can be righteous and we can be pure in the body and in spirit. That's his will. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors. It is our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. If we abide not in the vine, if we bear not forth fruit, we'll be cast away. We'll be cast away. We'll be withered. Men will gather those branches up, cast them in the fire. Be a castaway. You'll build again those things which you destroyed. That wouldn't be good. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, it's voluntary. Got to be your own free will. God ain't going to make you. He ain't going to force you. Got to be our will. Got to be our desire to yield to him. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. God bless you, brethren. Thank you so much.
Let's stand there, feet. Miss Holly, you come.